what to teach, how to teach, and what to do. These were the three questions that John Wesley asked all the clergy that gathered together at the very first Methodist conference. What to teach, how to teach, what to do. These three questions were the focal point of what it meant to conference together as Methodists. Since the very beginning of Methodism, we have gathered together to ask these important questions and discern the will of God. Early on, these questions were asked. The conference was just clergy people. Well, by clergy people, I mean clergymen. And by clergymen, I just mean white clergy, because that's what it was at the time. Over time, non-clergy white men were also allowed to join in the conversation as they invited laity to become a part of the conversation. Half of the decision makers were clergy, half were laity, all of them still white men. But the people in the pews were invited to help shape the direction of our denomination. Now, eventually, women and black Methodists were allowed to join in this process, but only after much consternation and indignation by the white men who were enjoying their power and influence. Now, I intentionally include this brief history of who has been and is at the table when United Methodists make decisions, because our tradition has something to teach us. Every time we have excluded people, we realize we were wrong. Those who have come before us throughout all of Christian history and in Methodist history, those who have come before us have failed to be the kind of church that fully reflects God's love for all people. And so we continue to repent and seek change, and then make the same mistakes again with a new group of people. Inversely, every time we include people, when we recognize that God's love is for all and that all people are made in God's image, when we include people actively, we find that the body of Christ, the very life of the church, is made stronger and more complete. The gifts that women and people of color have brought into our denomination have allowed us to further reflect the image of God, and we are better for it. See, our congregation seeks to build a home where all belong. And we see God's image reflected through our continuous efforts to be inclusive of all God's people. But over the past 50 years, our denomination has marginalized, judged, and oppressed the LGBTQ community. And we have come to a moment where we as Methodists must decide who we will be. So this coming week, 864 elected delegates from all over the world, representing United Methodists in every place, will gather together in St. Louis to conference together. We use conference as a verb. I'm actually going to be one of these people. This will be my fourth general conference. I went in 2004, 2012, and 2016. I've spent 15 years of my life trying to fix things at this level of the church. It's interesting, other congregations have been talking about General Conference for months. And that old adage of the cobbler's son has no shoes, your General Conference delegate hasn't been spending a lot of time in worship talking about it. We did hold some special info sessions inviting people to be a part of the conversation, but I struggle to hold a balance because this is very real and important stuff at a denominational level. At the same time, our congregation is made up of people who generally look at me and go, wait a second, you're like part of some sort of Methodist Congress and you're going to pass legislation about who's in and who's out. This is why I don't do church. There's a balance we want to hold because this is a reality and it shapes who the United Methodist Church is. And yet, as Highlands United Methodist Church, we know who God is calling us to be. But in the greater United Methodist Church as a whole, I need to be very clear. There is great anxiety about what will happen or not happen. There is great tension between a number of differing viewpoints. And in many places throughout the United Methodist Connection, there is great worry that the United Methodist Church will not survive this conversation. And amidst all of these emotions, it can be easy to lose sight of what we're going to St. Louis to do. We are gathering at General Conference to discern the will of God for the people called Methodist. We're not going to push agendas. We're not going to whip votes. We're not going to execute well-formed parliamentary plans, though I can tell you all three of those things not only will happen, but already are happening. I know well, full and well, all those things will happen, but that is not why we go. You see, when John Wesley started Methodism, he had this radical idea that there were unique ways that we as God's people could encounter grace. Yes, God's grace is ever present, always around us, in us, through us, and with us, but there are special moments we have available to us to experience it in powerful ways. These actions that we could take part in where God would show up. And he called these actions the means of grace. They were the means that God used to shower us with love and grace. Things like communion, reading scripture, taking time in prayer. These were means of grace. And in addition to communion and scripture and prayer, John Wesley also understood and included holy conferencing to be a means of grace. That when we gather to discern God's will, truly opening ourselves to the direction of the divine, that God shows up and we are changed. That is what our heritage and inheritance as Methodists calls us to in St. Louis this week, to allow God to be present in that way. But while the denomination wrestles with who we will be, who we will include, how we will treat and minister to all people, and while we do this, mind you, in 4 written languages and 17 live translated languages, as a committee of 864 people working on things at the same time together, while we are engaging different cultures and experiences and identities in conversation that is as personal as it is communal and institutional, amidst all of that, how will God show up? This is the question I've been asking myself. And I tell you, as I've looked for answers, I can tell you one thing I will not rely on. I will not rely on the results of General Conference to be where I see God. But I will never stop looking for God's grace, and I will never stop creating space for God to be present in the process. Because honestly, that's the only thing I get to have a say in. The only thing I can truly affect in St. Louis is who and how I choose to be. And I will find God's grace by listening, by learning, and by standing for love. I will be listening to voices that have not been invited to the table. I will be listening to voices that have been spoken over for far too long. I will also be listening to the still, small voice that speaks within. All the while, I will be learning. I will learn more about people I disagree with than their opinion. I will also continue to learn the life stories of people who have been hurt by our denomination's archaic and repugnant stance on LGBTQ people. And in every conversation, every vote, and whatever the outcome, I will stand for love. God's love. Love that is for all people. Love that I see lived out in this congregation. That's the kind of love I will stand for. And I appreciate your children's sermon today, Ashley, because I can't trust or rely on others to be graceful in this work, but I can choose to be loving and graceful in this work. See, I can't know the outcome. I can't know the outcome will be what I want it to be, but I can offer my best self and my best work for who I know God is calling me, our congregation, and our denomination to be. Through listening, learning, and standing for love, I can know the grace of God made present as the divine will is sought. And I can know that my willingness to listen and learn and love is the best way for others to experience the grace that I believe will transform our denomination and our world. The same way trusting God's love for all people has transformed me. It's what we're invited to do. In fact, it's what we're invited to do through the wisdom of the prophet Micah. For he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God? Ashley?
The song, Here I Am, Lord, has been on a loop in my head, mostly the chorus. Here I am, Lord, is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Why am I going to St. Louis? This is a question I have been asked for quite some time, from my queer colleagues, my straight colleagues, people in and outside of the United Methodist Church, and I always try to answer the same way. I want to be there. I want to listen. I want to be seen. I want to share my story, my faith, my hope for the church. I want to wear my self-avowed and practicing United Methodist t-shirt along with my Highlands United Methodist Pride t-shirt, proudly. I want to stand for love. Do I think it will be easy? Absolutely not. Do I think horrible things will be said? Yes. But I still need to be there. I want to stand up for people that are not able or unable to stand up for themselves. I want to show that I am created in the image of God, that I have a calling to preach the gospel. Nothing comes easy, and definitely nothing worth fighting for comes easy. I've been working with queer colleagues from across the U.S., and we have made covenant groups that will check in with one another in person or via text twice a day to ask a simple yet very loaded question. How is it with your soul? I've disliked this question for some time, but really only because it's such a vulnerable question. It's real. It's hard to get out of, but it's needed. And the Special General Conference is going to be heartbreaking, but it's also going to be life-giving. Well, the 864 delegates are on the floor voting and amending and debating. I will be working with the Queer Clergy Caucus, the Love Thy Neighbor Coalition, Reconciling Ministries Network, and many others up in the stands observing, live tweeting, blogging, and being present so that if anyone has a question about who God created me to be, I'm going to be there to share my faith journey. I, with many others, will be in the hallways and throughout the convention center sharing our stories. I'll be in prayer for and with people, sharing and inviting people into communion. I am a child of God, and I plan to show people through love just that. It would be easy for me to say that I want the church to separate, that I want the traditionalists or the them to just go away, and that I'm right and they are wrong. And in most days, I'll be honest, that is exactly where my head and my heart are. But then I have to remember that these people that will say and have said hurtful things to me and about me and my brothers and sisters have also been made in the image of God, because we all are. So I have to challenge myself to think of everyone as my brother and sister in Christ. It's like being part of a family unit. How many folks have had an immediate family member say something hurtful to you? Or maybe you've been that family member that has said something hurtful to another. Special General Conference is going to be like a giant family reunion. There will be fighting. There will be talking behind backs. There will be hugs. There will be crying. And there will be unconditional love. I hope that when the gavel falls on Tuesday night and all of the voting is finished and whatever the outcome is, that there is enough grace for everyone and that we as a family in the United Methodist Church, that we let God hold us together. So here I am, Lord. Send me. Amen.